know, being a perfectionist is not always a good thing. Sure, you get everything just right, exactly the way you want it, but it can cause trouble too. Dr. Jane Bluestein has written a new book about it called The Perfection Deception, and she joins us now on the line. Welcome, Jane.
Hi.
I mean, that's a really cute title you've got there.
I wish I could take credit for that. That was, I just write the books. They come up with the clever titles.
Well, it's a good one. Hey, Alyssa, what is the downside to perfectionism?
Well, there are a lot of them. You know, what you're talking about is really looking, what we're looking for instead is really the pursuit of excellence, you know, really trying to do our best. The downside is with perfectionism, our whole identity gets tied up in our efforts, our appearance, our relationships, and then we try to control things that we don't always have a lot of control over. So if I can only be worthwhile in my mind, if I have this belief that I'm only lovable and safe and worthwhile, if I'm not making mistakes, I'm either likely to not try something, I'm likely to give up if I don't succeed the first time, which, you know, quite frankly, most of us don't when we're doing something new, or if I'm with somebody who, you know, maybe doesn't have his shirt tucked in right or doesn't look the way I think she should look or whatever, it really can ruin your life because it takes all the joy out of pursuing new experiences, and it certainly is a real downer in a relationship.
Well, is perfectionism something you have or you don't? Can you stop being a perfectionist if you are already?
Well, you know, that's a great question because I can be really perfectionistic about certain things and really not care about others. So it's not like a switch that's on and off. And in fact, I've worked through an awful lot of my perfectionistic issues. But boy, writing this book brought a lot of them back up. So it's like a constant project. And I don't know that there's an off switch. You know, I started the fourth section which is about really healing and kind of not letting perfectionism run our lives with my wish that I had a cure for it. What I have found in 2 years of interviewing hundreds of people who've wrestled with this issue is more that they have found ways to to manage the impact that it had, the negative impact, of course, that it has on their lives.
Well, how is the media contributing to the rise in perfectionism in people?
Well, the media is certainly, you know, would be very easy to blame for it all, but it's only one factor. And part of the, you know, the barrage of images that we're constantly getting about how we should look, how our home should look, what kind of car we're going to drive, and if we just do this, we'll be happy. If we can, you know, just go on this diet or if we can just get this degree or whatever. And there's always this promise that something, if we can just manage to get our own bodies into this size, shape, career, or whatever, that we'll be happy. There's always this payoff promised at the end. And so we look at people in ads, especially print ads, where, you know, they've all been airbrushed and photoshopped and stretched, where they don't even look like the people in them anymore. And we think, oh, that's what I'm supposed to look like. And how many people, men and women, are starving themselves or doing surgery or doing, you know, really harmful things to their bodies, thinking that they will be more lovable and acceptable if they just look like this person who doesn't even look like who they really are.
And the clever name of your book again?
The Perfection Deception.
Great. Thank you so much, Jane, for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. It was great talking to you.